This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Peter heals the crippled beggar. One day, Peter and John going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Before I begin, I'm going to read you something that Roger sent me during the week. A villager has been accused of murdering his parish priest because he couldn't stand his sermons. Antonio Incandela, 33, allegedly told prosecutors he wanted to teach the priest a lesson after a sermon on bad apples which he felt targeted him. Michele Di Stefano, the padre of the hamlet in western Sicily, was found dead in the bed in his rectory after being beaten with the handle of a hoe. He is said to have used his homilies to comment on his parishioners' misdeeds, which he knew from their private confessions. It goes on to suggest that the guy may not have intended to kill him, but missed when aiming for his legs. The reason I read that is, regardless of the condition of this morning's sermon, regardless of how you might feel got at, I want you to know now, it's God, not me. Okay? The curse of being a minister is you know some of the things that are going on and you inevitably have them in the back of your mind as you prepare. I've been trying desperately not to for this purpose, because when Roger sent me that, I was getting a bit concerned. I'm now putting locks and chains on the front door and all sorts. So last week, Roger introduced our new series, working through the appearance of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And so here we've got the second text. And it's fantastic, isn't it? Because this is the first text where you get a complete contradiction, because the man asks for arms and he gets legs. Oh. More importantly, I thought it was good. Never mind. More importantly for us, the text provides a position from which to explore the condition of the modern church. And a better a launch pad from which we can all go to serve God more effectively, boldly, actively. But before we do that, I've got to confess to you. I was once a member of the Who fan club. I know. What it actually involved was me parting with money on an annual basis. And on a quarterly basis, I would get a very badly typed, folded A4 newsletter that would tell me, it would have articles written by other fans about their favourite member of The Who, or their favourite experience at a concert, or their favourite album. And of course, it also had the promise of discount on tickets and advance notice of the next concert. Of course, The Who had actually retired permanently at that point. So that was my experience of fan clubs. Catherine assures me the Humpty Dumpty fan club was significantly better, and she enjoyed being a member a great deal. However, fans. I once worked with a guy, let's call him Ian, because that was his name. He used to come to work proudly wearing his Star Trek Academy rank studs, declaring him as a lieutenant commander in Starfleet. Now, before anybody feels got at, right, if you're a Trekkie or a Trekker, and I know there's a difference, I want you to notice that today especially I wore my Star Trek insignia cufflinks, so you know that I'm there with you, okay? He also, however, had a history of wearing eyeliner, having bad new romantic haircuts, and was regularly depressed that he couldn't get a girlfriend, so go figure. The thing is, if you are a fan, there you go. So the Lieutenant Commander studs, that's one black one, two gold ones, okay? Just so you know, when you meet one, what rank he is, okay? If you're a keen Star Trek fan, you can go to conventions. In fact, let's broaden it. If you're a keen science fiction fan, you can go to conventions. At these conventions, you can dress like your favorite character. You can meet the stars of the program. You can hear new stories written by the writers, possibly even read by the writers. You can even role play your own favorite episode. Why am I talking about fan clubs, you might well ask? Because I think, in part, the church has maybe lost its identity as church, and it's become a fan club. I think for a long time, that's what church has been like. Now, okay, we don't all rock up with long hair and beards. You know, sandals are optional. Socks more so, apparently. But other than that, there's not a lot of difference. You see, we get together with like-minded individuals who share our interests. We sit together and we sing some of our favorite songs. We hear some of our favorite stories. Occasionally, we get to meet the stars, the celebrities, the big names in the Christian world. Jonathan Edwards. David Kerrigan. We hear these people. We meet these people. Sometimes we get to hear a story being told in a slightly different way. Sometimes, well, let's face it, with no disrespect to any member of any fan club out there, sometimes I think people see us coming into church and they regard us as possibly no different to somebody rocking up at a convention with their insignia. They consider us to be a bit geeky, maybe socially awkward. And the saddest bit of all? The saddest bit of all is that when being a fan demands we act differently, we can take off our uniform. We can put it in a drawer until we next choose to go to a fan club convention. We can set aside our books and our collar studs. And we can live and do exactly how we want to. But when we read the book of Acts, we see something different. We don't see a fan club. It was dynamic. It was growing. It was transforming. It was life-changing, world-changing, sickness-healing, dead-raising difference. And we must ask ourselves why what we have now isn't like what we read about then. Some time ago at New Wine, I attended a series of seminars by a guy called Mark Marks. Some of you may have heard of him. He heads up the Healing on the Streets ministry. What I heard him say, and I'm saying this very carefully because I think I may have heard him wrong, to give him credit where credit's due. What I heard him say was that when Jesus sent out the 12 and then the 72, he gave them authority to heal. And that therefore, we as disciples also have authority to heal. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I heard that that was all we needed. And I don't think that that's actually what he said. Some of you may never have wondered about how healing happens, and some of you may never necessarily have wondered about the authority angle. But I think for me, it's caused me a bit of a dilemma this week. When Jesus sent out the disciples, had they received the Holy Spirit? No. Did they heal the sick? Yes. Could an argument be made that healings happen in the authority of Jesus Christ? Yes. At a stretch. Because in reality, the disciples had the authority of Jesus and they had the presence of Jesus there with them. We don't have that. We need something different because Jesus himself physically is not here. We need the Holy Spirit. For years now, hundreds of years, the church has mistaken civic authority for its authority in Christ. Christendom has allowed the church to believe that its authority permitted it to dictate to other people how they should live, to govern how the laws of the land are made, to hold sway in government. It has even used its authority to justify killing other people within the church who have disagreed. At the time of the Reformation, it was the Protestants killing the Catholics. At other times, it's been the Catholics killing the Protestants. It's true, we've even had Protestants killing Protestants because they think about things differently. That's not the authority that Jesus gave. And thankfully, it's an authority that is being lost with the demise of the church's high position in society. You see, Jesus came from the margins, and he came for people on the margins. And it was from the margins that he challenged society with words and actions. And it's when the church returns to the fringe that we will rediscover our true authority, the authority of Jesus Christ. On Tuesday, however, I went to Coastlands Church in Barrie for a new wine leaders meet. And Bruce Collins was there and spoke. And he recounted a meeting in Sweden where the Holy Spirit had descended upon the room. And there was a builder who had fallen off a roof and had been in a wheelchair for several years. And he was healed. He stood up and he was healed. Nobody prayed for him. Nobody went over and in the authority of Christ healed him. No prayer ministry team had been trained on how to get him out of his wheelchair. No five-step process of making him feel at ease and establishing what the issue was and diagnosing where the prayer should... None of that. The Holy Spirit descended and healed. Now, let's think. Can we make an argument based on experience that the Holy Spirit heals? Well, yeah. It's clear that the Holy Spirit doesn't need... But based on our reading of Scripture, I would suggest that we can't make that argument in totality. You see, for years, the power of the Holy Spirit has been kept away from the public. And when it has broken out in events like the Toronto Blessing, it's been seen as strange and so abnormal that it's been met by many with derision, ridicule, instead of awe. And yet within society, there is an open and ready acceptance of all things spiritual. But because of the way the church has behaved historically, people are less inclined to come to the church for the spiritual. So they go to things like the spiritualist church, which will demonstrate healings in spiritual power. But it's neither in the authority of Christ, nor is it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and nor is it glorifying to God the Father. But people are looking for spiritual solutions, and they're not coming here. George Washington said that government is not mere advice. It's authority with the power to enforce its laws. So I think what we see in Acts 3, what we see in Peter and John going to pray and meeting a lame man on the way is the government of Christ becoming a reality. I think it's not just authority in Jesus Christ. It's not just the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the government of Christ. It's the kingdom of God here and now. You see, every day, sorry, I skipped a bit. First of all, the disciples have been sent by Christ. They have the authority of Christ. They're going to pray. They remain under the authority of Christ. They demonstrate the authority of Christ in what is recorded in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I know I spoke recently about us being tempted to use these things like magic words, and I still maintain that actually, unless there is a life that lives to the glory of God behind those words, they mean nothing. But they were declaring they were under the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But they were also subject to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, interestingly enough, Roger, when he set this series, he's been leading up to it saying how we're going to look at every time Acts mentions the Spirit and see what the Spirit does. And so the first passage that he gives me doesn't say the Spirit once, which threw me a little, but you know. However, the Spirit is implicit in this passage. They are under the power of the Holy Spirit. When they walk to the temple to pray, they have done that every day. It's a regular event for them. And we're told that this man was there every day. They will have passed him regularly. And yet today, the day that is recorded in Acts 3 is the day that the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, now heal him. They're under the power of the Holy Spirit because Peter, the denier, Peter, the wimpy disciple on the beach that's pointing over his shoulder and talking about the beloved disciple, well, what about him? Peter is for the second time in the book of Acts emboldened, inspired, empowered. Totally out of character without the Holy Spirit present. You may well have heard a story, but I'm going to tell it anyway because I like it. You may well have heard a story of a young police officer doing his exams at Hendon. And his final exam question is this. You're on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there is an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van is a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your divisional inspector who is currently in the USA. A passing motorist stops to give you assistance and you realize that he is the man wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a house shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and that the shock of the explosion has made birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. Describe in a few words what actions you would take. The officer pondered for a moment and then wrote, I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd. We might well sympathize with his answer, because it's easy sometimes far too easy, to take off our Christian uniform and mingle with the crowd. But as Christians, We are called to remain distinctive, to retain our Christian identity wherever we are and whatever the circumstances. The Holy Spirit not only heals through those people who act in the authority of Jesus, but the Holy Spirit also heals the hearts and lives of those who let him change them. The verses that precede the ones we read this morning are some of my favorites. In fact, I've got a sneaking suspicion that's why Roger left them out. I'm going to bring them in anyway. They're some of my favorites. And you have heard me rave over these verses before several times over. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Say this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. When we read those verses, we see the Holy Spirit healing an entire community. It shouldn't be any surprise that we read of miracles being done in the church as it acted the way it should. Loving one another inside and acting out that love and godliness outside. In Galatians 5, we read of the fruits that are borne by the Spirit, and it is through these fruits that community is healed. That we love instead of demanding others conform to our opinions. That we should have joy instead of anger. Peace instead of upset and division. Patience instead of impatient demands. Goodness and kindness and gentleness that considers others before ourselves. Faithfulness to Jesus and his teachings. That by living his way, others are helped. And the difficult one, of course, self-control, which we are to exercise over everything we say or think or do. It is by close, selfless relationship with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we bear these fruits. And by bearing them, we see community healed. The tagline for today is "The Spirit Heals." And we know from the Bruce Collins story I shared that the Spirit can, of course, heal. But this passage doesn't say that we are to sit back and expect the Spirit to do it all. Peter and John and the other disciples were together in one place when the Spirit came. Before the Spirit, they were just a fan club, meeting together out of common interest in Jesus, telling each other stories and reminiscing. After the Spirit came, they left the building. They started to live the way God intended them to, including healing in the authority of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are potentially sat together right now as a fan club. Some of us have allowed the ethos of this fan club to influence our lives and change how we act when we're elsewhere, when things go wrong, when we're hurt, upset, or disagree with people. Others have not. Some of us really like to hear a clever sermon. I'm sorry about that this morning. Or hear a famous person come to speak for our entertainment. And some hear what he said and have their lives transformed by our walk with Jesus. And are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And some of us aren't changed by the presence of God. Some of us just change our uniform. We take off our fan club uniform when we leave the church and we don't let it touch our lives. I believe that the call of God today is for us to stop treating his church as a fan club. And this, I know that not everybody does that. I apologize if you're sat there thinking, I do go out and do this. We're to stop taking off the uniform when it becomes inconvenient to our other life choices. We're to leave the building in the knowledge that we are authorized and empowered to do kingdom work. And that includes healing the sick, as well as releasing the oppressed, freeing the captives, being good news to the poor, declaring the year of Jubilee. That comes too. We are to be healed as a community, as well as healing others. Where there is division amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, that grieves God more than anything else, I'm sure. Where there is upset and unrest and hurt, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to be healed as a community. And as a community, healed and whole in Christ, we are to go out of the building and be Christ to others. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We are bowled over by your generosity that sends your Son to live and die and rise again for us. And you don't stop there. But you then pour out your Spirit on all men and women. That you pour out your Spirit to transform and to heal, to restore the relationship between humanity and God and one another. Father God, where we have been guilty of division and disunity, forgive us, we pray. Where we have held grudges or been angry or done things that we know in our heart of hearts you do not approve of, forgive us, we pray. And through the grace that forgives, pour out your Holy Spirit again, we pray. Change us. Transform us. Empower and send us, we pray, to your glory. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and heal you. May he pour out his Spirit upon you. And may he turn his face toward you and smile and send you out as instruments of his healing and peace to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.